Well, it's great to be here tonight. I'm enjoying my time in Tallinn. So I was asked to speak tonight on the topic of getting as much as we can out of our knowledge of God from the Scriptures. So what's it going to take for us to really understand God, especially understand the Scriptures and the things He has to say to us? Well, it's going to take commitment and hard work. Neither are very popular, are they? But I think that's what's going to be required. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse
27.
A very familiar passage. Go ahead.
Siis Jeesus ütles talle, sa oled õigesti vastanud, tee nii ja sa elad. Tema vastas, armasta Issandat oma Jumalat kogu oma südamega ja kogu oma hingega ja kogu oma jõuga ja kogu oma mõistusega nii kui oma inimest kui iseennast.
So this is the greatest commandment.
See on suurim käsk.
Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. I once had a friend in the church in Boulder when I was a young Christian. She decided to put this scripture into practice. So for the first week, she said, I'm going to love God with all my heart. And then she said, the second week, I'm going to love God with all my soul. That was the hardest one. She didn't really know what that meant. And then the third week, she said, I'm going to love God with all my mind. And then the fourth week, love God with all my strength. So point number one is love God with all your mind. What would it mean to love God with all of your mind? Well, what do you use your mind for? For thinking. So that means if I'm going to love God with all my mind, it means I need to think deeply about God. So I've got a simple question. Do you think deeply about God? Do you think deeply about the Scriptures? You know, I think there's a temptation to give most of our energy most of our mental energy at work or to solve the problems that we have. And I think some of us, we get to our quiet time and we're just putting in our time. You know, we read the scripture, okay, read that, I read that. It's kind of like when you watch a movie. Do you think deeply when you watch a movie? No, you're really mostly just relaxing with your mind when you watch a movie. You know, I've been a Christian for almost 41 years. So let's be generous. Let's say I had 300 quiet times a year. you know, every once in a while, I miss a quiet time.
No,
that's 12,000 quiet times. What if you had exactly the same breakfast 12,000 days in a row? You would be bored. How many of you have been married for more than 20 years? All right, have you ever been bored in your marriage? Did you ever fall into a routine? How do you keep your marriage alive? You know, you need to give it energy. You need to avoid falling into doing exactly the same thing all the time. Yeah, I know some people have been a Christian for 25 or 30 years. Then I ask them some of the most basic questions about the Bible. And they can't answer the question. And I think, what have you been doing with your quiet times? Oh, let's give an example. What is the theme of the book of Hosea? Young Christians, don't worry about it. Now, don't raise your hand. But if you've been a Christian for 20 years, and you can't tell me the theme of the book of Hosea, have you been loving God with all your mind? So that's something that I would like us to think about. I try to go out of my way to make sure I'm really learning something. When I'm reading the Bible, I ask myself a lot of questions. What's he trying to say here? What's the meaning of this passage? How would this relate to the other passage? Now, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 5. But I've been studying Hebrews so much that chapter 5 fell out. It's gone. But that's okay, because you're going to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 15. Okay, I think I remember that passage. He says we need to move on to maturity. He says, I want to talk about Melchizedek. He says, but I'm afraid some of you are still children. What have you learned this year? What new in-depth insights have you gotten from the Bible? What have you been learning? In Numbers 11, verse 4 through 6, we could read that. Numbers 11, 4 through 6.
Aga seba rahval, kes oli nende hulgas, tehti Simu ja Iisraeli lapsed hakkasid ka jälle nutma ning ütlesid, kes annaks meile liha süüa. Meil on meeles kala, mida me sõime liituses muidu, kurgid, melanid, laugud, sibulad ja küsavad. Aga nüüd kuivetud meie hing, ei ole enam midagi kõigest sellest, meie silmees on ainult see manna.
So they were bored. They said, back in Egypt, we had cucumbers and melons and leeks and all that kind of stuff. Now all we have is this manna. You know, we have manna every morning, don't we? But sometimes I think we get used to the Bible. And we stop thinking about it. Let me confess a sin of mine. Sometimes when I'm reading a spiritual book, when I come to the part where they're quoting from the Bible, I skip that part. I've read that enough times. And I get to the good stuff. So I want to suggest that we need to love God with all our mind in the way we understand and we study the scriptures. Again, it's a little bit like a marriage. We can kind of get bored. But we need to be constantly thinking. I've learned more from the scriptures in the last 5 years than from any other 5 years. And I'm constantly trying to think carefully. Point number two. So point number one, apply this to yourself. We need to love God with all of our mind. We need to spend time thinking about the scriptures. Contemplating the scriptures. Learning from them. Point number two. We need to have the attitude that David had in Psalm
119.
I mean, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And David can think of 160 different ways that he loved the scriptures. Could you think of 160 different ways that you love the scriptures? In Psalm 119, verse 97. So what's she asking for?
It's the question is that the verses may differ the numbers. What's the essence or the?
Okay. Sorry. Psalm 119, verse 97.
Ja siin on siis öeldud, kuidas ma armastan sinu seadust. Iga päev mõlgutan, ma mõtlen seda.
I love this scripture. David says, I love your scripture. Can you agree with David on that? He says, I meditate on it all day long. Now, how could you meditate on the scripture all day long? Unless you memorize the scriptures. How much memorizing of scriptures have you done? I have a pile of scriptures I've memorized about this high. I can meditate on those scriptures. Paul was, probably Paul also. David was always thinking about it. Verse 72 of Psalm 119.
Seadus su huultelt on mulle kallim kui tuhande kulda ja hõbe.
Paul said, David said, he says, your scripture, it's more valuable than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. How much do you value the scripture? Let's be honest. How much do you value that? I really like Psalm 119, verse 136. I mean, David was emotional about the scriptures. When people would disrespect the scriptures, he would be in tears. Because David loved God with all of his mind. And then Psalm 119, verse
9.
So how are we going to keep on the right path? By knowing the scriptures. By memorizing the scriptures. By meditating on the scriptures. And by the way, the younger you are, the more you can memorize scripture. I'm so old, it's too late for me. I can hardly memorize scripture anymore. So get started while you're young. Do one verse a week. Maybe two verses a week. When I was in college, we had a class. We had to memorize 3 or 4 verses every week. I'm so grateful for that. So point number 2. Have the Psalm 119 attitude. Point number 3. Have a sense of adventure. This is maybe my most important point. The Bible is an amazingly deep thing.
hämmastavalt sügav.
You could never get to the bottom.
Sa kunagi ei jõua päris põhjale.
It's impossible.
See on võimatu.
You could spend your whole life just studying the book of Colossians. And you would never understand it, not fully to its depths. You know, I've visited 80 countries. And I'm 64 years old. But if I live to be 200 years, I could probably visit every country. But if I live 200 years, I would just begin to understand the Bible. So we need to have a sense of adventure. I'm going to learn something brand new. Every time I read the Bible, I think there's going to be something amazing. And we need to teach the Bible. The best way I learn the Bible is to teach it. So find somebody and start teaching them. If you can't find somebody to teach, teach your dog or your cat, I don't know. Get a commentary. Think about things that it's not natural for you to think about. Have discussions. Take a Saturday morning. Get with a brother and sister. Let's talk about the book of Job. See, this is how I keep a good marriage. We have to have a sense of adventure. We're going somewhere. We're doing something. We need to be open-minded. We have a certain idea and we never change it. Read different translations. Why would this one say it this way? And that one would say it that way. Just today I was reading about the account of Judas' death in Matthew. And then in Acts. And they're a little bit different. So I didn't say, whatever. So I asked, why are they different? In what sense do they agree with each other? You know, we're part of a never-ending story. We, as a fellowship, are part of a never-ending story. As a church, we're always trying to find the right path. Don't leave it to the leaders. Don't leave it to the teachers. You need to join that process. You know, not everything we believe is correct. We even have false doctrine in our church. We do? Of course we do. I remember a time I was with some brothers in Philippines. And I said, you know, we have false doctrine in our church. The brother almost drove off the road. He couldn't believe it. Our church? Well, I said, do we believe exactly what we did 10 years ago? He said, no. So when did we get perfect? And you're part of that. Everyone out there is responsible. Not everything you were told from the pulpit is true. Not everything I say is true. The Bereans, they were always checking out the scriptures, right? How about you? You know, a lot of the things we do, we think we do it because it's in the Bible. But then we read the Bible, and it's not there. So why are we doing that? Is that a good idea? Or is that a bad idea? But we're all part of that. It's as an organism, we're always trying to follow the best path. And deep Bible knowledge by the members is the best inoculation against false doctrine. You know, inoculation like a...
A
vaccine, yes. I like to read things by people I disagree with. I read books by Pentecostals. I read books by Catholics. Because I want to understand how they think. We're putting on a conference in March for teachers in our fellowship. And for the first day and a half, none of the speakers are going to be from the ICOC. We did that on purpose. All right, let me give an example. Is one-on-one discipling in the Bible? I mean, that's a practice of our church, right? Is that in the Bible? Is that taught in the Bible? No, not really. So why do we do that? Well, did you ever ask that question? Shouldn't we all ask a question like that? By the way, I'm a really big fan on one-on-one discipling. But first of all, I know it's not in the Bible. And second of all, I know why I think it's a good idea. But in the early church, most of the discipling happened within families. Because that was their cultural structure. Because generally, when the father became a Christian, the whole family did. Is that our situation here? No. I think one-on-one discipling is a very effective way to put into practice Matthew 28:18-20. And those many other one another passages. But what if we get stuck on a practice that's not even in the Bible? See, we have to ask questions. Not to be rebellious. But so we could keep on the right path as a group of Christians. So I say, be open-minded. But not so open-minded that your brains fall out. We stick to the basic truths. Okay, point number four. Have a plan. Have a short-term plan. A medium-term plan. And a long-term plan. Let me give an example. About 12 years ago, maybe 13 or 14 years ago, I don't remember, I made a decision. I plan to know every single book in the Bible sufficiently in depth that I could preach from beginning to end without notes. So I have a very, very strong understanding of every single book in the Bible. I've been on that plan for about 13 years. And I'm about 60% done. I figure another 10 years or so and I'll complete my plan. But that plan could be overwhelming, couldn't it? So I have my medium-term plan. This year. So Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel. 1 year. 4 months for Ezekiel. Buy two commentaries. Read the book several times. Write an outline. And then in my small group Bible study, we go through Ezekiel for 4 months. Then I have a short-term plan. That's what I'm going to do this week or maybe this month. And I do all those things. Because I want to know the scriptures. I don't ever want to get bored. Like I said, have you ever been bored in your marriage? Well, how do you solve that problem? By doing the same thing? No. We need to have a variety. Sometimes I just read the scripture like I'm reading a story. For that, I get one of these. I don't like these. You know what paraphrased Bibles? I don't know how many translations. You probably don't have that many in Estonian, do you? Oh, we're so lucky in English. We're so lucky. But sometimes, just read the Bible. Just sit down and read it. And on purpose, don't look at every little bit. Just get the big picture. Maybe at another time, for the next 6 months, Philippians. I'm just going to study Philippians. I'm afraid sometimes, some of us, here's how we do our quiet time. Or we just go online. And we have devotionals.
And
I don't know what the... Just have the scripture of the day. And somebody else thought about it. And you just read their thoughts about it. That's not good enough if you ask me. Another idea is take one big idea in the Bible. Maybe the idea of justification. Or the idea of grace. Or holiness. And spend a month or two just studying that idea. One time I was asked some questions about predestination. And I thought, yeah, I don't really understand that idea enough. So I spent 6 months thinking about the idea of predestination. I read 3 or 4 books about it. And I prepared a lesson about it. And I taught a class about it. And I nailed that topic. I say, read other things. Read church history. Learn about other religions. Read the Quran. Don't read the Book of Mormon. Because it's very boring. Read my book about Mormonism. It's much better. Have you been doing these kinds of things? Maybe that would explain why the Bible's been a little bit boring for you. And then outline different books. All right, next is practicals. Daniel, wherever you are. Okay, so the main point of this lesson is not the practicals. So I'm going to give you some practical ideas. But that is not the main point of this lesson. The main point of this lesson is you walk away inspired. I'm going to take it deeper. I'm going to be part of a never-ending story. I'm going to know those scriptures. But I have a few practicals. The first one is memorize scriptures. I already talked about that. Also, memorize a location. So maybe there would be, 200 or 300 scriptures you have by heart. But maybe there'd be another 500. You haven't memorized them. But you could find them. I'll tell you a story. One time I was in a van with a bunch of science professors. And one of the professors said, Christianity, what a stupid religion. She said, did you know? In the Bible it says if you wear clothing with more than one material,
Öeldakse, Biblis öeldakse, et kui sul on seljas rohkem kui siis ühe
say, like linen and wool or something like that. Capital punishment. Capital punishment, yeah. What a stupid religion. I said, excuse me, the Bible doesn't say that. She said, oh yes it does. I saw it in a website. Are you getting your Bible from a website or from the Bible? So I pulled out my Bible. Could you find that verse? Did you even know there's a verse about that? I did. I knew it was in Leviticus. Now, I didn't know the exact reference, but I've read Leviticus enough times. I knew it was on the right-hand side of the page, halfway down. Are you loving God with all your mind? Could you have found that scripture? I also said a quick prayer, and I read that verse. It got quiet in that van, you can imagine. By the way, it does mention clothing with more than one material. I have another question. Could you tell somebody why God cares about more than one material? Have you thought about the scriptures deeply enough you could explain why God would care about that? The Jews understood it. Do you understand it? It's about purity. It's about not mixing the holy. It's a big word, profane. Do you know the word profane? With the unholy, we'll say with the unholy. Why don't they have cheese and meat? It's about cruelty to animals. Now, I admit that's probably not going to change your life as a Christian. But we need to know the scriptures. So that's one point number one of practicals. Point number two. Learn to ask the right questions. Let me give an example. Is this a command? Is it a principle? Or is it a practical example? That determines how you interpret the scripture. Let me give an example. The Bible says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Let me ask you a question. Is that a command? Is that a principle? Or is that a practical example? Which is it? What are they saying? You're right, it's a principle. Most of us would say that's a command. But that's not a command. It's a principle. And you apply a command different than a principle. Has anybody here ever been tempted to be yoked, you know, like two oxen, to be yoked with an unbeliever? If that was a command, how could you obey it? It's a principle. Now, we use that scripture to prove you can't marry a non-Christian. Right? Is that what that verse says? No, it's not what it says. So what's it say? It's a principle. So what's the principle? Do you ask these kinds of questions? I do. So the principle is the stronger the connection, the more careful you should be. Oh, so for example, if you're going to start a business with a non-Christian, you should be cautious about that. Now, what's the strongest bond we could have? Well, a marriage, obviously. So would that scripture apply to marriage? Yes. But does the Bible teach that you can't marry a non-Christian? Yes, it does. Reto, where does the Bible teach that you can't marry a non-Christian? In 1 Corinthians 7. Everybody in this room who's been a Christian for 20 years should, number one, know that the first scripture is a principle, not a command. That 2 Corinthians 6:14 is a principle, not a command. And you should also know whether the Bible commands not to marry a non-Christian. And where it makes that command. So, young Christians, you're completely off the hook. No problem. But older Christians, I hope you're challenged. But this is important. Let's give another example. Another example of a question to ask. Oh, here's homework. Read 1 Samuel chapter 16. Ask yourself, what's an example of a command in 1 Samuel 16? Then, what's an example of a principle in 1 Samuel 16? And what's an example of a practical example that we can learn from? All right, the next question to ask. Is what I'm reading here, is it essential? Important? Or not important? So there are many, many teachings in the Bible. Some of those teachings are essential. Some of them are important, but not essential. And believe it or not, there are teachings in the Bible that aren't important. Honestly. So that's a good question to ask. All right, let's do an example. Okay, speaking in tongues. Whether you can or cannot speak in tongues. Is that an essential doctrine? An important doctrine? Or an unimportant doctrine? I would say it's important. But it's not essential. Here's why I say that. I think you could go to heaven and be wrong about that doctrine. But if people believe that doctrine and brought it into our church, that would cause division. And I believe that we cannot allow that doctrine into our church. Or at the very minimum, if someone holds to that doctrine, we should tell them, do not bring that up. Alright, number two, understanding who Jesus is. Essential, important, or unimportant? That's an easy question, okay? Really, there's probably only about maybe 8 or 10 essential doctrines. Paul suggests a list. In Ephesians 4. He says, we need to agree on these. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Is the doctrine of baptism an essential doctrine? Absolutely. But if you want to be a mature Christian, you need to understand the difference between essential, important, and unimportant. What about the doctrine of elders? The need of the church for elders. And the kind of person who should be an elder. Which is that? That's important. That's very important. What about when Jesus is going to come back? What about end times? What that's going to be like? Essential? Important? Or unimportant? Unimportant. So don't argue with somebody about that. If somebody has a false doctrine about end time, don't even worry about it. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the essentials. If you're studying the Bible with somebody who believes in speaking in tongues, don't even argue about that. In fact, this past spring, I was studying the Bible with a student on campus. He believed in speaking in tongues. I didn't even worry about it. We went through the whole Bible study series. He realized he wasn't a Christian. We went through discipleship, lordship, all that stuff. But he believed in speaking in tongues. We finally talked about that. I told him he's wrong. I told him why he's wrong. So he went and got baptized at his church. He went to his own church and he got baptized. Amen! He's going to heaven! Now, he's not going to show up in our statistics. But I'm rejoicing. He's going to heaven. He's not going to my church. But he's going to heaven. Because that's an important doctrine. So I told him exactly what I think, and I told him why I think it. But I said, amen. And he's still part of our campus ministry on the campus there. And he shares his faith with a lot of people. And he invites them to our Bible study. Okay, so good questions to learn to ask. Such as command, principle, and practical example. Is there a book in the Bible that is filled with principles? And has no commandments, really, probably at all. It's called Proverbs. Proverbs says, train a child in the way it would go, and when it grows up, it will not depart from that way. Is that a command or a promise? Or is that a principle? That's actually an important distinction. I remember being taught that that was a promise. But it's not. It's a principle. Okay? So anyway, I just want to challenge your thinking a little bit. Okay, my last practical is to study. It's a big, long word. All right, do you have that something like that word in Estonian? It's probably the same word. So, because how could you have another word for that, okay? Because we need to learn how to understand the Bible. Before they let you drive a car, they make you study the rules for driving a car. And before you, if you want to study the Bible, maybe you should learn some rules for studying the Bible. So young Christians, you don't need to study hermeneutics. Don't even worry about it. But I think anybody who's a mature Christian should probably know how to study the Bible, don't you? So I suggest you take a class in hermeneutics. You say, oh, I don't know, that's too hard. Well, are you going to love God with all your mind, or are you not going to love God with all your mind? So you don't need to study hermeneutics to go to heaven. But I think you need to study hermeneutics to understand the scriptures. So do you want to understand the scriptures? I think you do. So I won't go over this, but I handed you a document. And thanks to Trin, you even have it in Estonian. And if that's not enough, go to my website. Type in hermeneutics. 8-hour class. 40 pages of notes. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on being a Christian for a few more years. So I want to learn how to study the Bible. See, that's why I know the reason it says material of clothing with two materials. That's why I know it's in the Old Testament. Because I studied hermeneutics. It doesn't really change my life all that much. But it was really awesome to be able to show that prideful, arrogant lady that verse. So let me remind you. You know, some of us, we're bored with the scriptures, honestly. We're like the Jews. They said, we're tired of this manna. We want something more interesting. Like a romance novel. So I say, love God with all your mind. Have the Psalm 119 attitude. Have a sense of adventure. And have a plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
I went too long.